Before we proceed with the second argument this morning, the court would also note the additional classes from the Dakota Wesleyan Journalism class and the Mitchell Technical Institute, and welcome to those individuals as well as the public. The second case for oral argument this morning is Luke versus Deal for the appellant. Luke is Mr. George Johnson, who I understand will be doing the 20-minute initial presentation, and then Mr. Wally Eklund, you'll be doing the 10-minute rebuttal, correct? All right. And for the appellee, John Deal is Mark O'Leary, an attorney from Sioux Falls. Mr. Johnson, you may proceed, sir.
Will I get a warning with 5 minutes left, John?
I'll give you one at 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
I only have three colored lights.
May it please the court, counsel, members of the audience. I believe that this appeal is very fact-driven, so I'm going to give a brief synopsis of the facts in this case. And this is basically how it went. On January 30th, around the Kimball area, there had been a series of a lot of heavy snowstorms. John Deal, who is the appellee in this case and the defendant at trial, called Luke Construction, and he basically said, we've got too much snow out here. My equipment will not move the snow. I can't feed my cattle. Would you people come out and help me?" So he made them business invitees. They said, "Well, we'll be out." And the next day, they did come out. And it was Mike Luke, who was my client. He drove his Caterpillar payloader out there, which is a very large piece of equipment. He drove it out to the farm, and he met, and they went into a feedlot. And this is where they moved snow for most of the time. During that time, John Deal would stop him, and they would talk about what needed to be moved and what needed to be done, and he would even warn him about certain items under the snow. For example, one of them was a hose for a feed tube of some sort. I don't know, and I don't think the evidence is clear, if my client asked where the tube was at or if it was merely volunteered, but that is a very important piece of the evidence in this case, is that he was told. After a few hours of working in the feedlot, which was a ways away from the John Deal farm, they moved down by his house, which is, there was a series of barns, a series of corrals, a house, pretty nice house, and they started moving snow in that area. John Deal testified that he said, "I want you to move, clean out the driveway and the farmyard." Hugely important that he said the farmyard, because when he said that, he didn't say, "The farmyard begins over there and it ends over there, and I don't want you to go into this area." He said, "Clean out my farmyard." My client, Mike Luke, got in his Caterpillar, and before he did, John Deal said, "Oh, by the way, over by that barn, there's a tire underneath the snow over there. Watch out for that tire." So again, he either volunteered the information or my client asked and he told him the information. Either way, my client relied upon it and went to work. He moved snow for a little while, and while he's moving snow, John Deal, the farmer, turns his back on him, literally turns his back on him, and is talking on the phone. He's sitting in his tractor, and he's talking to somebody, and I don't know what he was talking about, but he's not watching what my client is doing. My client goes to a portion of the farmyard where there is a horse trailer that is nearly completely buried in snow. There's so much snow, it's literally to the top of this horse trailer. In that same area is a propane tank, which is, by all accounts, completely buried by snow, and there's no indicia at all that it's buried under there, for my client anyway. So he is moving snow, and what he does is he plows into the snowbank, and it's huge. And he gets a bucket, and he takes it, and he moves it. And then he comes back, and he plows into it again. Well, one of the times that he goes to plow into that snowbank, he hits a 1,000-gallon propane tank. The explosion gas releases out, and I imagine that something on the tractor that ignited it, either way, there was a giant explosion. The tank had just recently been filled. My client, Mike Luke, is seen by his daughter walking out of this huge ball of flames, and he's walking like a mummy. About 5 days later, he dies in the hospital related to burn-related injuries, and his lungs were not functioning correctly. So that's the general facts. Now, here are the important facts that drive this appeal. One is that John Deal and all his employees agreed that my client, they had never seen my client, Mike Luke, out at that farm. Another one is that no one had ever seen my client over there looking at this propane tank, so he would have absolutely no idea where it was at because there was no indicia that it was underneath the snow. This is a very important fact. John Deal, the very owner of this farm, had run into that exact same propane tank with his own tractor almost 1 month before. He was trying to clear snow so that the propane company could come and fill it up, and he hits the very same tank. So he had knowledge of where it was at, not just because he ran into it, because it's his farm. He knows where his propane tank is at, but my client did not. Another important fact, as I said before, he said clean out the yard and the driveway. Another important fact, as I said before, he did not tell him which parts of the farmyard to avoid. He didn't say, don't go over there by that horse trailer, or don't go over there between the house and the barn where this propane tank was located. Final important fact before I move on to my more serious argument, Your Honors, is that at the end of the day when they were hauling Mike Luke to the hospital, he looked over at John Deal, and his daughter testified that she said that Mike Luke looked at him and said, why didn't you tell me that that propane tank was there? Why didn't you tell me? And John Deal just put his head down. He didn't say a word.
Was John Deal out there when he, you said at one point your client had removed one, had made one run and removed some of the snow. Was John Deal out there at that time?
John Deal was out there the entire time he was cleaning out the yard, but his, as I said, his back was turned. He had his tractor facing a different direction. And we don't know exactly how many swipes he made into that, Your Honor. There is a series of tracks leading up to the propane tank, as you could see with the pictures that we've introduced into evidence. But it's our position that it would have taken quite a little while to drive in there several times, back up, haul the snow to the other side of the lot, and then come back and get more. So we contend that John Deal had time to watch over there and should have been watching. When you invite a business invitee onto your property, you either tell them where the dangerous stuff is at, or you make sure that they don't go over there and you watch them. He didn't.
Now, there was, when you read the briefs, you get the impression that this was a long distance away from actually where he should have been cleaning, and when there was some argument that this was not the original area that was that he was told to clean out. How far was the distance? I couldn't really figure that out. How far was the propane from maybe the other areas that he was cleaning?
Well, the propane tank was in the farmyard, Your Honor. If the house and the front of the yard are very close to the propane tank, and the horse trailer that was sitting near the propane tank sits between a barn and the house, from the actual driveway as you see it during the summer, when you can tell where the gravel ends, it's mere yards from where they park their cars and their semis and everything else. But because there was so much snow, my client would have had no way of knowing where the gravel for the actual driveway ended. But again, Your Honor, he said clean the farmyard. Now, a reasonable person that hears that, and then they look around and they see a horse trailer sitting over there next between the house and the barn, maybe they assume, well, that's part of the farmyard. There's vehicles parked over there. Maybe they need to move that horse trailer out this winter. And so that's why he was over there moving snow.
Well, you know, if those are the facts, why did the trial court specifically say that there was no evidence that Luke was expected to or would foreseeably be removing snow in that area?
I have absolutely no idea why the trial court said that, and I vehemently disagree with it. The evidence, only evidence about where he was supposed to be came from Mike Luke, because they were the ones that talked about it. It came from John Deal. My client's dead, so he can't tell you where he was supposed to clean. But the evidence by his client said, clean out my farmyard and my driveway. The propane tank is in the farmyard. And so there's this big dispute.
Let me ask you, was that the conversation that occurred right before the last time they separated, so to speak.
Yeah.
When he picked up the phone and had his back to him. The last conversation in the record before the accident, they used the word farmyard. Is that what you're telling us?
That's my recollection of it, Your Honor, and I believe he also said during that same conversation, oh, by the way, there's a tire over there. And so he pointed out the tire, but he apparently just forgot. He knew the propane tank was there, and he had to have known. It was probably a definition of what's the farmyard in his mind. He had a different idea because he knew where his driveway ended, where the gravel ended. But my client had never been out there. He would have no way of knowing that. So it was his obligation to point out, and it's the Casa del Rey case, it says point out all known dangerous deals or items, and a propane tank would definitely fall into that category.
But John Deal testified, to my recollection, that Michael was going to remove the snow, push the snow to the south. Well, this is to the west. If you go with the propane tank, that's either to the north or the west rather than to the south. So John Deal's position is that he had no idea that Michael Glucki was going to go into that area. So, I mean, you had that argument to the jury, but apparently you lost, and apparently they believed Mr. Deal.
Well, we must not have done a very good job articulating the position, because for one thing, it wasn't a blade that he was pushing snow. And so he could not, because of the way everything was situated, there was practically no way that he could have gone around the house and tried to push that snow to the south. The only way he could do it is with a bucket. He could go get it from the north and then carry it to the south. But
when he made three passes, according to this one exhibit number 80, it looks like he's made three passes up towards the propane tank. Where did he move that snow when he made those three passes?
We contend that he piled in, he picked it up in his bucket, and then moved it south and piled it on the south end of the parking lot. There was a pile of snow piled south, exactly what he said he was going to do.
And so, there was no testimony opposite of that?
I don't recollect any, Your Honor.
So on Exhibit D, is it correct that the black area, is that where the house used to be before it burned up?
That would be correct.
Okay.
Right next to...
And that's this photo, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So John Deal is testifying that he had no reason to know that your client would be between the barn and the house in the area of the propane tank.
In the area of that horse trailer as well.
Did you argue that it was negligence for him not to know?
Well, Your Honor, we kept coming back to, and I guess this is the big clutch of this whole case. When he says, clean out my farmyard, we kept saying, that is part of the farmyard. They argued, and with success, that it probably wasn't part of the farmyard because there was no tracks at that time. Well, there's no tracks or indication that that's part of the driveway because it's a 10-foot snowbank there. But the jury believed them, I guess, that that was part of or not part of the farmyard. But in our opinion, when you say a farmyard, you've got barns and corral around, it's different than a house yard. A farmyard is huge. It's a very expansive thing to somebody that's never been out there. If he sees a horse trailer over there, he probably considers that part of the farmyard.
I'm going to move a little different place here now. As far as the jury instructions then, is instruction number 12 that talks about negligence, is that the only negligence except for contributory negligence instruction that was given? This is where negligence is the failure to use reasonable care. Is
no.
that the only one?
No,
which
Justice,
other one?
The judge actually gave instruction number 20, which reads, the possessor of land owes an invitee a duty of exercising reasonable or ordinary care for the invitee's safety. Mike Luke was an invitee of John Deal. Our position, Your Honor, is that that's an incomplete statement of the law.
Okay, but it is only... Besides 20, and then when you go back here to determine what reasonable care is, that's it.
I believe so, Your Honor. And Mr. O'Leary will correct me on that if I'm wrong.
But you're saying that in the one that you offered, that there should have been something more on instruction 20, or the, at least giving the one that you offered, as far as the duty to warn.
Yes. We stole the language for our proposed number 44 right from your Casa del Rey case, in which this court said the trial court in the Casa del Rey case properly instructed on the duty that an invitee owes to an invitee, or a landowner owes to an invitee. So it's what basically she did, or the judge did, the trial judge said, you owe a reasonable standard of care. And then he left our person having the same exact duty, when in fact the landowner in this case had a very specific duty to warn, and that's clear from all the cases. He knew the propane tank was there. He didn't tell my client about it. And so this court has said that when you give a jury instruction that is not a complete picture of the law of this state, that's prejudicial error. And we believe that that's the case in this.
However, they did find Mr. Deal negligent.
Yes, they did.
So explain then, they also found your client contributorily negligent. So explain how the giving of that instruction would have made the difference, or how the failure to give that instruction was prejudicial.
Absolutely, Your Honor. It's the crux of this case. When you tell a jury that this person has this duty to do this, and you tell the jury that this other person has a duty to do this, like in a car accident case, they would have the exact same duties. Now compare them. Who was more negligent? Well, in this case, we have a very specific duty that was breached, the duty to warn. And then we have a very general duty, a duty to keep yourself reasonably safe. Now, when you go to compare those as a jury to try to decide if this person's negligence over here is slight or more than slight, how can you do that when you don't know what the duties are between those two people? And you don't know that this person had a more specific duty than this person over here when he just had a duty to make himself safe. Furthermore, Your Honor, I'd point out that I don't think my client breached any duty, because he either was getting the information from Mr. Deal or he was asking for it. So I don't understand how he was negligent in any way.
So you're disagreeing with the jury there?
I do, which is not the first time I've done that, Your Honor.
That you're having to overcome the presumption that the jury acted correctly.
I understand that that's my burden. But what I'm trying to point out to the court is that based upon when your case law, when it says that a jury instruction does not give the correct statement of the law, then that shows prejudicial error. And I believe that's the Leisinger case.
Mr. Johnson, I know you don't agree with this factually, but if in fact, say in another case, there's no reason to foresee that the person removing snow is going to be in a certain area, would you agree then that there would be no reason, or the law would not require a duty to warn instruction if it's not foreseeable that the person is going to be working in that area?
I don't know that I can necessarily agree with that, Your Honor, only because your case law from this court says that you have a duty to warn of any objects that you know that may be dangerous. Now, if it was an absolute impossibility that somebody was going to be over there, and say, for example, in this case, the farmer had said, now, absolutely do not go into that area because there's a propane tank over there. Now it's not foreseeable that he's going to be working over in that area. Then that's a different case. And I guess, I don't know if I've answered your hypothetical, but the fact of the matter is, in this case, it was foreseeable because he said to clean the farmyard.
Well, I understand. I just want to see if you agree, though, with the legal principle generally that the duty to give an instruction is based on foreseeability, and someone had to make that determination.
I don't want to agree with you, but I can't think of a good reason why I can't.
You have 2 minutes.
Is foreseeability a jury question in this case?
It usually is, Your Honor, but see, they're using foreseeability and they're trying to suggest that he was in the totally wrong area, like he was in a different field and on somebody else's property or something else. He was in the same farmyard. So I don't see how foreseeability factors into this.
But yet that's what they've argued, actually, that he couldn't foresee that he'd be in that area.
That's what he
said. But the foreseeability issue was not actually presented to the jury.
No, there was no definition of foreseeability or anything like that suggested to it. But essentially what they said is they argued, well, my guy didn't expect to see him over there. Well, where do we stop that slippery slope? Can you just argue that every time there's an accident, well, I didn't expect to see him over in that part of the yard, even though I said do the farmyard. No, you have to use common sense. A reasonable person that hears, I'm go clean my farmyard, can expect somebody to be in any part of that farmyard. And that's what happened in this case. So it was foreseeable. Let me just point out, Your Honor, that when it comes down to what my client did as a reasonable person, he was told to clean a farmyard. He did. He was not told where the farmyard began or ended. So as a reasonable person, you go where, and you've also been told of other hidden objects. A reasonable person starts to rely on that when they're told where hidden stuff is at and where hidden stuff is not at. He didn't have a duty to ask. I've not found a case yet in this United States where it says my client would have a duty to ask as a business invitee where dangerous objects are at. The burden falls totally on the landowner. And I don't know if that's fair or not, but that's the standard of the law. I think it's really important that not only, you know, he had other options. One of his options was, if you don't want to warn them of all the dangerous things, stick by them. And I think this goes to what you were saying, Your Honor.
Your time has expired, Mr. Johnson. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. O'Leary, you have 20 minutes, sir.
May it please the court. I have profound respect for the work and the advocacy that Mr. Johnson and Mr. Eklund perform for their clients every day, and in particular this case. But this verdict and the judgment of this trial court should be affirmed as to the contributory negligence of Mr. Luke. The first legal point before the court is whether the plaintiff's proposed instruction 36 and 44 should have been given to the jury. And that's the language that the plaintiffs took from the Castle Del Rey case. As Justice Meyer Henry has just pointed out.
Are you conceding then your client was negligent?
No, I said the judgment should be affirmed as to the contributory negligence.
Well, you don't get there if your client's not negligent to begin with.
I'll address that, Chief Justice. But I wanted to just make the point with respect to these proposed instructions. The plaintiff, the appellant here, must meet their burden of showing that the verdict would have been different. And I think this addresses your question. The fact of the matter is, the jury in this case found Mr. Deal to be negligent. And therefore, I think that the decision of the Supreme Court on this appellate point should be
Let me ask you a question based on Exhibit 80. Exhibit 80 shows the part of the propane tank that was subject to the explosion, and it also shows at least three passes or three scoops with a front end loader digging out the snow. Do you agree with Mr. Johnson that when that snow was removed, then it was hauled to the south?
Justice Sabres, we have no evidence in this case that answers that question, because John Deal's back was turned and did not see him.
Right, and I'll get to that in a minute. But you agree this picture is a fair representation of what the farmyard shows, in that it shows that there's a substantial amount of clearing there, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I mean, and it would take some substantial amount of time to do that clearing, wouldn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right. Then, Mr. Johnson argues that there's a duty either to warn about the propane tank or a duty to stick with him. So what my question is, isn't it isn't it the greater negligence on the part of John Deal, who's sitting somewhere in this farmyard in a pickup truck talking on a cell phone for this entire period of time that this area is apparently being cleared, and he's not sticking with him? He's not paying attention. And isn't that greater negligence on his part than what Mr. Luke did?
Foreseeability is the touchstone of duty. And what happened here was, and perhaps this is why the jury found Mr. Deal negligent. Perhaps the jury decided that Mr. Deal was not negligent because he didn't disclose the location of the propane tank, but that he was negligent in failing to watch Mr. Luke as he worked. Because the evidence and the record will show the testimony of John Deal, who said that if he had known he was going to go in an opposite direction to where they talked about him working, that he would have told him about the propane tank. He would have told him. The jury, let me take you back to the hay yard. Mr. Johnson addressed this evidence. When the day started, the record will show that Mr. Deal testified that they met, he and Mr. Luke met at the gate to the hay yard. And the very first thing they discussed was what area of the hay yard did he want cleared and what items may be buried in the snow. Michael Luke's father testified that it was established company procedure that every time they clear snow, they stop and ask about any objects that they need to be worried about. And Michael Luke did that. And in the hay yard that morning, they talked about a buried feed line. They talked about a buried feed bunker. Now, they worked in the hay yard most of the morning, if not all of the morning, and then moved down to the ranch buildings where Mr. Deal's house was located. And the first thing that they did was clear the driveway. And again, they stopped at the mailbox. There's testimony from Mr. Deal explaining that they stopped and talked about how they would undertake that portion of it, clearing that driveway and where they would take the snow. And now we get to the farmyard. And they did precisely the same thing. Mr. Luke and Mr. Deal stopped. They got out of their tractors and they discussed what area was to be cleared. The testimony of Mr. Deal is very clear. Some of the snow in the driveway had already been cleared by him early in the morning. The discussion was, we're going to clean up this driveway and we're going to push it to the south. And the testimony was from Mr. Deal that Mike Luke even made the comment, inconsistent with other evidence that he had never been out there, but Michael Luke made the comment that that's the way they had done it before for John's father. They always pushed the snow to the south. Significant because earlier in the day, Mr. Deal's testimony will show that they talked about when they were clearing the driveway, they needed to take that snow way up to the north because otherwise it would simply blow back in. Mr. Luke was aware of the predominant winds and the effect of pushing snow to the north or northwest. It ties in precisely with the evidence that he was going to make a few quick pushes to the south and get out of there.
What? Well, how did he push it? Mr. Johnson said that he wouldn't have been able to push it because it was the nature of the caterpillar and so forth.
I think the evidence in the case, Justice Myra Henry, was that we're not talking about 5 and 6 feet snow drifts here in this driveway. We're talking about remnants of snow. Pickups had been moving through that area, so we're not talking about a lot of snow in the driveway where he was supposed to clear it. He was only going to push it. The exhibit in the case of the payloader will show you a large bucket. And the picture, I think, for the jury was that it was a pushing operation. Clearly, Justice Sabers, you're right. The 3 or 4 areas on either side of the propane tank suggest either pushing forward or perhaps, as Mr. Johnson suggests, that it was pushed in and then lifted up. But I don't recall any evidence that would tie snow from the area of the propane tank to the south down where the 3 buildings were burned. There's simply no evidence in this case that snow was taken from that point to the south end.
Without this instruction on the duty to warn, the plaintiffs weren't able to argue that then to the jury, is that correct?
I mean, they argued that extensively to the jury. Their case, if I might say so, was precisely that.
Except that the judge didn't instruct that that was the duty of the...
Well, I think that the jury instructions that were used were a proper explanation of the law, and when you take them as a whole, they correctly stated the law. The law being the ordinary and reasonable person test.
Let me ask you the opposite, or the, on the other end of it then, as far as what you argued for the for your client then, is that the plaintiff had the duty to ask? Did you argue that?
No. And we don't suggest that as a matter of law, a business invitee has a duty to ask.
So what was the contributory negligence then?
Well, Michael Luke and Luke Construction had an established policy to ask before they moved snow.
I understand,
Michael Luke demonstrated that policy and his own personal procedure at least three times during the day when they did that. We interpreted that evidence to be that when Michael Luke, for unknown reasons, decided to do something opposite to what they had talked about, opposite to what he had said earlier, we don't push snow to the north because it'll blow back in. When Michael Luke decided to push snow to the north, that is when the procedure wasn't used. It wasn't foreseeable for John Deal to believe that Luke was going to be working between the shed and the house when the instructions and their discussions were, make a few quick pushes to the south and I'm going to get out of here.
Why wasn't the foreseeability issue instructed? Why weren't the jury instructed on the foreseeability issue and that was something that they would need to make the decision on, whether or not it was foreseeable?
Justice Meyer-Henry, I would have to go back and review the jury instructions again. I don't recall. It seems to me that foreseeability appears in a pattern jury instruction, but if it doesn't, I can't answer your question.
I thought it did too, but I don't see it in this instruction number 12.
What is important here, what I think was important to the trial court, was that the evidence was that the snow was going to be moved to the south. And Mr. Deal says to Mike Luke, what can I do to help? And he says, just stay out of my way. I'm going to make a few quick pushes to the south and I'll be out of here. And that's perhaps why the trial court elected to instruct the jury the way they did. The parties argued this case extensively about whether or not Mr. Luke or Mr. Deal had a duty to warn about something up to the northwest. I think the jury concluded that Michael Luke went there on his own.
But you concede, or you do not, you concede that both the horse trailer and the propane tank are in the farmyard of John Deal's farm.
The photographs that Justice Sabers that you're looking at, absolutely, you can see the red top of the
right.
horse trailer.
And there's no fence between. Is that a machine shed or is that a barn?
It's a. I think you can take your pick. It's a machine shed.
But there's another barn that is fenced off from the farmyard, isn't there?
Right. But if you look at the summertime photographs, which are attached as an exhibit to the appellee's brief, you'll see that the propane tank is located to the north and slightly to the west of that corner of the house. Secondly, the evidence in the case is that there, although the horse trailer was parked up alongside that large machine shed, there was no indication. That area is not used during the wintertime. And there was a huge snowbank there. I think it was described as 4 to 5 or 5 to 6 feet high. There was absolutely nothing to suggest to Mike Luke that area was a part of the driveway, especially when you look at the testimony of John Deal, who described the fact that snow had been moved early in the morning by him between the area of the machine shed and the front of his house, that a pickup had been parked there and was moved again. The jury...
Was there anything to suggest that it was not a part of the driveway?
The testimony of John Deal is what the jury
heard. But I mean,
heard.
For at that particular point, was there any indication for the plaintiff that was not part of the driveway at the time he was clearing it?
Your Honor, I think that the evidence, the photographic evidence combined with the testimony of John Deal, convinced this jury that was not a part of the driveway that he was instructed to clear. And simply to extend it out to the north and northwest, I don't believe met the foreseeability test. John Deal testified, if I had any idea he was going to go up there, I would have told him. I think the jury found John Deal negligent because he didn't watch. But I'm speculating. I don't know. But I do believe, too, that they were convinced that Mike Luke failed in not doing what he had done three times earlier that day. When he decided to go north or northwest, when he decided to go someplace that he and John Deal had not talked about, he should have stopped, gotten out of his tractor, and gone over and said to John, who's talking on the phone and looking in the opposite direction, hey, you know what, I'm gonna push this snow to the north. I'm gonna push it way up there. Is there anything up there I need to be concerned about? And John Deal, of course, would have told him.
If they did find him negligent, as Mr. Johnson had argued, that how do you compare it then if they've not been given the correct instruction on the duty to warn? As you said, he didn't pay attention. Well, if you take that the next step, he didn't pay attention. Otherwise, he'd have gotten out and stopped him. If you don't add the duty to warn as part of the instruction, how then does the jury compare when they get into comparative negligence?
Well, I don't concede that they didn't have that instruction. The whole crux of this case, the argument of counsel, was all about that issue. Did John Deal, should he have warned about the propane tank? That was the issue that this jury took to the jury room with them. They had to decide that question. And I think that, unlike the Casa del Rey case, where you're talking about a loading dock with grease, where the plaintiff in that case was working, and they had clearly a duty to warn, as this court found, that is not the situation here, where he was going to make a few quick pushes to the south in the driveway and instead reversed, went an opposite direction, and John Deal is completely oblivious to that because he's not watching. And the jury must have concluded that was the case.
It is rather surprising, though, that he wouldn't have pointed out that that's the propane tank there.
Not surprising, Justice Meyer Henry, because it wasn't foreseeable to John Deal that Mike Luke was going to go up there. John Deal, there was evidence in the case that there were feed bunkers down in the cattle yard where the hired men were working. That's who John was talking to on the cell phone. They were digging out buried feed bunkers. Well, John Deal didn't warn Mike Luke about the buried feed bunkers down in the cattle yard because Mike Luke was not going to work there. He was not going to work there. He warned him about the feed line up in the hay yard because it was where he intended to work. And so we don't find it surprising. And as I say, it was hotly contested at trial. It was the issue for the parties, and the focus of final argument. I think that the jury was properly instructed. Certainly the appellant has not shown prejudice because obviously John Deal was found negligent.
Did you ever object to any argument by the plaintiff when they were arguing that there was a duty to warn?
No, I did not. Because the evidence is that the propane tank is where it was. The evidence was that Michael Luke hit that propane tank. It seemed to me that there was some evidence sufficient enough that they could make the argument Clearly, the argument wasn't persuasive to this jury, I don't think, but I didn't object to that, no. Now, we did object at the time of settling instructions that the instructions with respect to John Deal should not be, his negligence should not be given because the evidence, the case was closed. We felt the evidence was insufficient. We've made that a note of review here.
Yeah, so those minutes.
Those objections we did state, but we didn't interrupt argument, for instance, object. Those are the key pieces of evidence in our mind. I think that when this court views this evidence in a light that is most favorable to John Deal, in this case, to the appellee, that only one conclusion can be reached, and that is that there was sufficient evidence for this jury to find Mike Luke contributory negligence greater than slight, and they so found. There was a question whether or not it was negligent for John Deal not to know where Luke was working, and I just want to emphasize this because I really think maybe this is what the jury decided. Again, if you remember the hay yard and if you remember clearing the driveway, John Deal was very much attentive to what Mike Luke was doing. But when it came to asking Luke to make those few pushes to the south, and Luke telling Deal in response to what can I do to help, just stay out of the way, Deal then turns his tractor facing 180 degrees from where Luke is working. And perhaps that's what the jury took exception to. I have nothing further, absent any questions.
Thank you, Mr. O'Leary. Mr. Eklund, you have 10 minutes, sir.
Mr. Eklund, do you always bring an entourage with you? I understand the Gregory classes here.
I understand that. I think Mrs. Peterson warned me that they were going to be here. Interestingly enough, I've tried jury cases in Burke in front of the entire Gregory Civics class, too. So this isn't an unusual occurrence. Although these are high school kids. I guess the thing that I wish we were able to put all of the exhibits in front of the court in the brief, but one of the exhibits that might be very interesting is plaintiff's exhibit number one. And this is this simply wouldn't fit. But this shows an overall view of the farmyard and was the first exhibit introduced in evidence at the trial, and in fact there's a huge blow-up of it, but I think this one made it into the settled record. And it shows John Deal's tractor parked down here, and there at that time was a blue tarp covering the 1,000-gallon propane tank.
How does that differ from exhibit number D? It doesn't appear to differ at all.
I think that is
exhibit D. It's just larger.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, there was one. The court seemed interested to find out if there was evidence with respect to these tracks and what happened to that snow. Well, there was testimony as to what happened to that snow. Tom Luke Sr., who was Mike Luke's father, was there, as you can imagine, within a matter of hours after the accident. And of course, he knows the tracks that these huge loaders make. This is a 30-ton loader. And the way you load snow with that thing, the tires on those are relatively smooth. They're not like a farm tractor where the tire actually can get a grip on snow and ice. So they use the velocity and the weight of that machine to move snow. That machine had gone in, and Tom Luke Sr. testified to that, and dug into that bank. They raised the scoop as they're going in, and then if you look at exhibit one, you can see, and Tom Luke Sr. pointed out to the jury where they had been dumping that snow off to the south. There were more than three trips in there. I think the actual photographs or the actual scene showed that there were about 5 to 7 trips that loader had taken in, getting the bucket loaded, going off to the west, and then dumping that off to the south of that red shed.
Would you show us on that exhibit?
Show us all, will you please?
Yeah. Snow piles off here. It's scooping this way, dumping this way. So the loader was going in this way. He would back out, and this blue pickup was not there at the time. That's the other thing that we have to understand, that I think this photograph was taken.
Could I invite you to use the mic? We're on the internet.
A week or two after the actual incident, of course, not until after Mike Luke died. So, you know, we have to recall this case in the context the way it happened that day. There was between 2 feet and 6 feet of snow on this entire area. There wasn't anything marking out where the driveway or where the yard was. Now, the other thing, counsel cuts a little fine when he talks about, well, he was only asked to clean the driveway. Let me read precisely from John Deal's testimony. This is testimony talking about their discussion just immediately before the accident. And this comes from the transcript at page 226. Question, and what did you tell Mike Luke at that time? Answer, well, I told him that I wanted him to clean out the yard, push it up there on the north side of the house, like what we were doing, and there was a big snowbank in front of the barn, and that I wanted him to shave some of that off, and I told him about a tractor tire underneath the snow. That was John Deal's testimony. So he told him to push that up north of the house. Now, understanding that this is a huge field of snow out there that's between 2 and 5 feet deep, where does the yard end, the driveway, and where is he supposed to go?
Now, is he referring in that discussion to what appears more to be a smaller, like a machine shed or equipment shop, rather than the barn is to the east of the farmhouse, isn't
there? There's a big barn off to the east.
And that's fenced off, so that's not in the farmyard.
Right. Right.
But he's referring to the barn, meaning what appears to be the machine shed.
Well, what he actually said is, I told him I wanted to clean out the yard and push it up there on the north side of the house. Now, there's only one house, and they're seated in the yard. Down there in the neighborhood of where John Deere tractor is parked.
But then he was not doing what he was instructed to do, because you claim, and so does Mr. O'Leary, that he was pushing it to the south of the machine shed, not north of the house.
These are huge snowbanks, and he's got to work his way in through there so he can push it up north of the house. And right in the path of that is where that propane tank sits. They had pushed snow, you can see in the photograph, a long way around the other side of the house.
Did he ever push snow to the north of the house?
Yes.
Did he
when
push,
they clean,
did
when
he
they
push cl- it between the propane tank and the house, or did he go around to the east of the house?
Actually, I don't know if you can see it on any of these. It's very light. There is a track. Driveway, and here again, this has been drifted in. It's not clear, but you can see on plaintiff's exhibit 1.
Okay, you better go back to Mike.
Where they had pushed snow up in that area. Now, the problem is with these jury instructions, when you give an incomplete instruction and do not instruct the jury that the landowner has a duty to warn it opens things up for the argument, which was used successfully in this case, is that, well, folks, I can tell you why this accident happened, is because John Deal didn't tell him about the propane tank, and he didn't ask. And that's exactly where it's left when you have an incomplete instruction. Sure, the jury is left with the impression that Mike Luke had a duty to ask, and the jury instructions don't tell them any different.
You have 2 minutes, Mr. Eklund.
I guess the other question that I'd get to is exactly where was Mike Luke's negligence in this case, the contributory negligence? This isn't any different conceptually than the Armfeld case, where they say, well, she must have been driving too fast. That's why the accident happened.
Well, but just, Mr. Eklund, in this case, you've got a company policy to ask. Now, that it's black letter law that you would use that, a violation of that policy, to establish a breach of duty and make that argument. Isn't that where the negligence comes
in? And I think the facts show that he did ask. They had at least 3 and probably 5 or 6 conversations that day. One of the cases in South Dakota, and I happen to be on the wrong end of this one, but it's Fry versus Koff. And this court says the duty to exercise ordinary care to avoid the consequences of another's negligence does not arise until the negligence is apparent or the circumstances are such that an ordinarily prudent person would apprehend its existence. In this case, Mike Luke, and this is their evidence, had no reason to expect that propane tank to be there. Absolutely none. Where is his contributory negligence if he can't tell it's there? It'd be like somebody throwing a blanket over this room and then having a bomb and say, sweep the floor. He had a duty. He's certainly in a far better position than Mike Luke. He'd run into this tank a month earlier. He dented the end of it with his tractor, and yet he says nothing.
Your time has expired, counsel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Court will be in recess for 10 minutes.